My name is Elle, and I'm Aspen.
Elle and Aspen, okay. Is this your first sleepaway camp?
Yes, it is.
How are you liking it so far?
It's lots of fun. I just love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What sort of activities have you been doing this time out?
Well, we have archery, and we've got climbing, yeah, and swimming.
Oh, there's been swimming.
Yeah, and kayaking.
It's quite cold. We hardly ever do it.
Is that been what has been your favorite so far?
I like archery a lot, and climbing. Those are both fun.
Yeah, I think I really don't know. I haven't done climbing. The only one I've done is archery. So
okay, how well did you do it at the targets? Actually,
well, I hit the hay bale a few times, but I didn't actually get the bullseye.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. I am pretty bad at archery.
I've actually never done archery before, so you're both automatically better than I've ever been at archery. So don't have to worry about that.
Well, it's easy to get. Like, at first it's a little bit hard because it works kind of like you hold your hands in different places than you are used to, and but it's really fun.
Okay.
For me, it's quite hard because you're holding the bow with the opposite hand that you feel like you should be.
Really?
Yes. So if you're right-handed, you hold it with your left hand and pull back with your right hand.
Oh, yeah, I can see how that would throw you off. I'm learning quite a bit today.
It's also quite hard to remember that you have to close one of your eyes.
You have to close one of your eyes?
Yes, you have to find which one is your dominant eye, and then you have to close the other one when you do it.
Okay.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you do.
Mm. Well, next time you go up, you might have a better chance of hitting the target, apparently.
Yeah, maybe.
My name is August Brunsman.
And I'm Amanda Metzkus. I'm the executive director of Camp Quest.
I'm the executive director of the Secular Student Alliance. Those are our day jobs, but I have been volunteering at Camp Quest since 1999.
So Camp Quest Northwest, how long has it been an organization?
Like, well, so this is the first year Camp Quest Northwest is having a full week-long camp. Mm-hmm. Last summer, Camp Quest Northwest did a kickoff Taste of Camp Quest picnic, but it actually just got started last summer. Chuck Wilbur contacted us at the national office in Ohio and said, hey, we're really interested in getting a camp started. And it was like early June. And we said, well, you know, the first thing we ask of anyone who wants to start a camp is that they come volunteer at a session of Camp Quest that's been going on for a while,
right,
so that they can learn the ropes. We happen to have one starting in like 5 days if you want to come. And Chuck was like, sure, I'll fly out to Ohio on no notice and be a camp counselor for a week. That sounds awesome. And so, yeah, we got Chuck in at Camp Quest Ohio last year. And, you know, he put together a really great team out here. And I've just been so impressed with Camp Quest Northwest's first session. It's just things are running so smoothly. Everyone's having a fantastic time.
So we've talked a lot about Camp Quest Northwest because we're a show in the Northwest. But Camp Quest as an organization has been around for some time now, hasn't it?
Yeah. The original camp started in 1996, and it met for the first 2 years. It's kind of a funny story. In Kentucky at the Bulletsburg Baptist Church Camp.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the campground they rented. And then the Baptist higher-ups found out who we were, and they were not real keen on that. And so Camp Quest Ohio, which was then the only Camp Quest, moved to Ohio in 1998.
Okay.
The second camp started in 2002, Camp Quest Smoky Mountains. And basically the organizers, Edwin and Helen Kagan, people would approach them and say, hey, will you come start a Camp Quest in whatever place? And they would say, well, no, but you can, you know, come to the original camp, learn the ropes, find out how this is done, and then go back home and replicate this model. And that's what I've been working on. I started volunteering in 2003, and then I became the paid executive director in 2008.
2013 would have been, we'd maybe do a weekend in 2012, and then 2013 we'd really, you know.
Right, and here we are. It's August of 2012,
day five,
and you're on day five. This is fantastic. How are you feeling right now?
I am a function of everybody else's mood, and I feel good.
Okay,
and I've gotten a lot of unsolicited. We're having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish this didn't end, that kind of stuff.
Right.
This surprised me.
Some incredible engagement here. I was just not expecting that.
It's actually, take a step up to Socrates Cafe sometime too.
Tomorrow I plan on going.
It will drop you to your knees and floor you at what these kids come up with. Way more articulate than we were.
And actually, I've heard it a couple times now about kids, is that the nice thing about Camp Quest Northwest is that I can be honest about the stuff we believe in and don't believe in, and nobody laughs at us and nobody points at us.
That's one hypothesis for it, that when you squeeze someone or try to control someone too much, it's like squeezing a balloon.
Right.
Segments of that balloon will shoot out in directions you don't understand. We're not squeezing kids in any direction here, so nothing is like shooting out in an aberrant fashion. So these kids are, it could very well be, that's one good hypothesis, that they're just being themselves.
So you've been taking, you've been handling basically the photographs of the camp.
Yeah, just walking around, kind of like just an embedded counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Checking out all the venues and the kids and watching the interactions and the personalities and the friendships. Some of the kids have little fears about things and they get over them, like the climbing and the archery and the kayaking, and watching all that play out.
Yeah, yeah. And you're also the keeper of the science gadgetry, I think.
Oh, yeah. We have more or less a physics lab at home, and I brought quite a few items that were kid-friendly and easy to do kind of on a moment's notice so that we had some filler material. All of it is great. You know, I've used it before, middle school, elementary school kind of projects, and I'm sure it's going to be like a home run in little moments, but then I'm surprised by who figures out how to do things with it on their own.
Right.
That's the part.
Every time I look in the lodge where all that equipment's located, there's always a crowd of kids around. It's very popular. We could not have predicted this, and I think that was the best part. If someone would say, what's the best part of camp? It's the fact that I had my ideas about it, and almost none of them were correct. And people way smarter than I am said, hey, I want to do this. And about the only thing I can take credit for is not preventing them from doing it.
That's good management.
Yes, is good management.
It's almost
the
heart of good management.
Yes.
Can I get Keith and Zena to come out here?
All right, Alex, one of the things I did want to talk about, apparently there is a mystical creature associated with the camp.
Yes.
What is the name of the mystical creature?
Arcatuthis.
Arcatuthis. What sort of creature is Arcatuthis?
He's a tree octopus.
A tree octopus. So kind of squid-looking, eight legs, lives in the forest?
Yeah.
What have they been telling you about Arcatuthis?
That he's been making us happy here at camp.
He's been making you happy? How is he doing that?
Like, giving us good times, good days.
How likely does that seem?
I don't know. Arcatuthis is basically an invisible tree octopus that the camp made up.
That the camp made up?
Yeah.
Why do you think the camp made it up?
Yeah, because you can't hear it, you can't see it, you can't feel it, and you can't even see the book that they said that he existed in.
What book is this?
It's like a really, really old book that's written in Latin, in a language you had to study for like years and years.
Who has the book?
They didn't tell us.
Okay. The counselors, they've gone out and they've seen Arcatuthis, or at least they tell us that they've seen Arcatuthis. I thought maybe I heard him once or twice.
I don't know if that any of the counselors claim to have seen Arcatuthis since he's invisible, but we have read about Arcatuthis in the book, and we have faith that Arcatuthis exists.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apparently misheard that. That's how rumors get started.
You misinterpreted the text?
I misinterpreted the text.
Uh-oh.
So they've heard Arcatuthis, and they say they've got, you know, that they have proof of Arcatuthis, but you don't believe that?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Why do you not believe?
Because on the talent show, they said that Arcatuthis was talking in the very beginning, but he wasn't. It was just Chuck talking in the microphone.
It sounded different from Chuck, though.
Yeah, I know. He pressed a button to change his voice.
Oh, okay.
He changed his voice, definitely.
Can you prove that Arcatuthis doesn't exist?
So, Arcatuthis is an invisible octopus? What does he do?
Jump the tree to tree.
Jumps from tree to tree? Okay.
Mostly.
But you haven't actually seen this?
No.
And thus you think it's a joke?
Yes. Well, it's about the book. If you try to translate it and it would break, it wouldn't do that.
You don't think...
It wouldn't break. It would just rip.
You think that you should be able to see the book?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying? Because they said it was too delicate for you to see?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if she can see it, why can't anybody else?
Architeuthis wants you to wear your sunscreen.
Well, Architeuthis is an invisible tree octopus that lives here at Camp Quest Northwest. It's part of a tradition we have at Camp Quest. Each Camp Quest camp has an invisible mythical creature that lives at camp. At Camp Quest Ohio, we have two invisible unicorns. At Camp Quest Minnesota, they have an invisible dragon. At Camp Quest West, they have an invisible Bigfoot named Shree. At Camp Quest Texas, they have an invisible jackalope. And, you know, that's kind of a typical summer camp thing that you have kind of a camp legend or some camp lore.
Right.
And that makes it really fun. But we take it in a little bit different direction. We use it as a teaching opportunity to teach about the burden of proof. So we give kids a little explanation the first night of camp. Architeuthis is here at camp and all the counselors believe in him and he's invisible. But he won't hurt you. He's benevolent. He wants us to have a good time. And you can't touch him, smell him, taste him. There's not any visible sign that Architeuthis leaves, but you know, we the counselors, we know he's here, and if you can prove that he's not here, you will win the prize, which is a $100 bill from before 1954 when In God We Trust was added to the currency.
Very cool.
And we actually do have one.
Yeah.
It's currently in the keeping of the Camp Quest Michigan leadership, but the prize so far is unclaimed. No one has ever won the prize for disproving the particular invisible mythical creature that lives at their campground.
Well, that is part of the teaching tool, isn't it?
It is. And we don't want to give it away completely.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because there may be some future campers or current campers listening to this.
Oh, right. Yeah. If there is a potential solution, you're not going to get it here.
But it's important for kids to have an opportunity to play around with these concepts, with the burden of proof, with, well, why do we have to disprove it? Why don't you have to prove it's here? Well, we know it's here.
That's really, it's really interesting, these dialogues, because the campers would have with the counselors, and I didn't really know what was going on, but I saw what the counselors were doing. I was like, okay, better. I think I see what's happening here. I'm going to play along, and so I'd make stuff up too. And okay, now I kind of feel what it's like to believe in God and hang out with an atheist. It's like, all right, now I get it. They weren't really prompted in any way. I don't think you helped them out. It just as an emergent quality of what we were trying to do, they started making a lot of the same arguments that we made on this show in the early days, in a couple of cases, in exactly the same ways.
Yeah. So they ask, you know, well, how do you know? Well, we have this book. Well, can we see the book? Well, no, the book is in an ancient language and it's really fragile. And so, no, you can't see the book. But if we can't see the book, how do you know? How do we know you're telling the truth about the book? Well, you know, you trust us. You trust the counselors here. It's a game, but it has a real educational purpose. So.
Yeah. I think I heard one of the campers say, well, if it's real, how come only counselors see it? And I'm like, argument from authority. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I feel like whenever I'm introducing the invisible mythical creature, it's like, you know, you could play a bingo game, count the logical fallacies.
Yeah, exactly. I think it sets up sort of a, not a template, but it's sort of, that's kind of the thinking that goes on when you guys come up with programs for the camps, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sort of the direction you take it in, is you sort of, or create a situation or provide information and then give an opportunity for kids to ask questions about it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think that's one thing that really sets Camp Quest apart from a lot of other programs, is that we're not trying to just get kids to do what we tell them to do.
Right.
We're really happy if they ask us, well, why do we have to shower after we come out of swimming in the Sound? And we're happy to explain, you know, you've been swimming with the seaweed in Puget Sound and,
yeah,
you know, and you're covered in salt and you're not going to feel well later if you don't take a shower or rinse off. But we're also happy to have them ask those questions instead of just blindly do what we tell them to do because we're the adults.
Some of the campers actually set up a competing an invisible creature to Architeuthis.
They did. They have been promoting a heresy here at camp.
Okay.
That Archaeopteryx is here and he is intervening in camp in some ways. And, you know, you'll always have heretics, people who just don't understand the true faith.
Yeah. And that was mostly the older campers that were coming up with the Archaeopteryx thing, right? Yeah. Now, is that something you guys plan for in the activity, or is this just something that occasionally emerges?
It's just something that occasionally emerges. You know, we get in Ohio, where we have the two invisible unicorns, we had a heresy several years ago where people said they were actually bicorns. They each had two horns. Some people claim that they have wings and they're actually pegasuses, and there's all sorts of heretical ideas out there about the invisible unicorn. So it didn't surprise me that a heresy about Architeuthis emerged even in the first year.
Right. That's very cool. It really is just in a microcosm the entire deity cosmological debate in a week-long camp.
Yeah, and it's in a fun, lighthearted way, but you know, the other thing, in addition to kind of the burden of proof and logical fallacies and argument that I think this activity provides, is kids at school and with their other friends who believe all sorts of things, which is great. It's great to have a diverse group of friends, but their friends will ask them things like, well, prove there's no God. They'll come to them and they'll hit them with that. I remember in seventh grade, I had a very well-meaning friend who thought I was going to hell. And, you know, we would go around and around and around. Well, I would say, well, you know, how do you know there's God? And she'd say, well, it says so in the Bible. And I'd say, well, how do you know the Bible's real? And she'd say, because it was inspired by God. And I'd say, well, how do you know there's a God? And she'd say, because it says so in the Bible. And we just go, and I'm like, you don't understand the problem here? Like, we're just going around in circles. But, you know, kids are having these conversations about very real, very charged topics all the time in their regular lives. And this gives them sort of a safe, easy, fun way to sort of prepare for that and to kind of put that in a different context that's maybe not as threatening.
I've always been very careful around kids because I don't want to, like, you know, tell them, give them an answer to a question that their parents have already answered and get it wrong. But it feels like that vague sense of subversiveness that I feel when I have around kids is actually kind of an asset here sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I took a debate as a class, and it was also an extracurricular activity. And the first day that we walked into class, the teacher told us, she had a big question authority sign up, and she said, that includes me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm saying things and you don't think they're right, question them. And that was a real awakening moment for me. Like, I had not had a lot of adults in my life. My parents actually were pretty good about that. But, you know, in the school setting, having a teacher tell you, question me, that was not normal.
Right.
And so it was a really powerful educational moment. And so I'm happy to see us kind of creating that same moment, that same environment here.
What surprised me was how well this message has been, you know, had been transmitted in the camp. Was, you know, it's not so much about atheism, it's not so much about specifically skepticism, but the skepticism comes through because what it seems like everybody's trying to promote is a sense of free inquiry. All, you know, ask questions, participate in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that absolutely nails it.
Is that sort of the central thing that you try to communicate?
I would say, and that there's a common thread and a common vibe that all of the Camp Quest camps have, even though they have, you know, different groups of kids and different groups of counselors and different sets of activities.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that this is a place where it's safe to question, and questioning is encouraged. This is a community of questioners.
To Little Dipper.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah.
Ready?
I wouldn't choose.
Amazing pants, how sweet you smell. After a week at camp, you
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah. You know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Washington United for Marriage is working hard to affirm marriage equality in Washington. Ask an Atheist proudly stands united with this campaign. The secular laws that govern our pluralistic society must not adhere to religious doctrine. Bolster the wall of separation between church and state and bolster families and loving partnerships. For freedom of and freedom from religion, vote to approve Referendum 74. To contribute to the campaign, go to askanatheist.tv/r74. This ad was paid for by Ask an Atheist.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Any sufficiently sophisticated technology is indistinguishable from magic. So, what I'd like to do for you, in honor of Arthur C. Clarke, one of my favorite guys, and a free thinker, is share some magic with you.
I have really liked climbing.
Mm-hmm.
I have liked...
So, climbing.
I don't remember any of the morning activities.
Did you do Human Ancestors?
I did do Human Ancestors.
Can you talk about that one?
Because
I haven't seen it. It sounded like
Human
there was some cool
Ancestors,
stuff.
You essentially, they bring out four skulls. One of them is Lucy.
Ooh, who's Lucy?
I do not know. But I have gone to her exhibit at the Pacific Science Center.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
So four skulls from our human ancestors, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did they look different or did they look all the same?
One was really, really huge. And one was really, really tiny. Lucy's was large, medium. No, wait, Lucy's was large. There was a one with orange that was extra large. And then there was this gray one, which was medium.
Do you remember the huge one? Do you remember what group of people, what type of early man that was?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I do not remember.
I'm pretty sure the reddish-orange one was the Neanderthal. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
I got to sit in on that one, and what I was really surprised by is they had Flo, the little one. That was Homo florensis, which was, as far as I knew, only discovered 10 years ago. I mean, it's a really recent find. So I was really surprised and happy that it was there.
Well, we were very lucky to get that exhibit. I think it came from the Burke Museum. We were able to rent it and bring it to the camp. So being able to touch something and see and feel how things changed over time really makes it real, as opposed to something that you just kind of see in a book or in drawings.
Yeah, and I guess it needs to be said that they weren't real skulls, right? Or fossils. They were...
Molded carvings of them.
Yeah, they were made out of plastic, so we're not lucky enough to actually get to handle real fossils sometimes.
No, I think that requires a lot more training.
A lot more training, and I imagine a lot more insurance.
Keelan, you talked about earlier some of our human ancestors that we had met, right? We saw some models of them. Who did we meet?
I only remember two names of the skulls. Now, they're not the long scientific ones. Lucy and Handyman. Lucy had a face that stuck out quite a bit. Handyman had a bit of sharp teeth and didn't have a face that stuck out as much.
Wow. So there was a lot of differences between our skulls and the skulls of some of our hominid ancestors?
Yep.
Cool. And were you able to touch the skulls?
Yeah, they allowed us. They're only plastic.
Oh, so they're replicas.
Replicas.
Cool.
Awesome.
I ran a workshop on human evolution. We borrowed from the Burke Museum in Seattle four skull casts of Lucy, who is Australopithecus afarensis. We had Homo erectus and Homo floresiensis and Homo neanderthalensis.
And Sierra, so hard to remember all of these names. Really hard.
We gave them easier names. We had Lucy, Flo, Andy, and Java were their names for the kids. And Lucy,
Java Man.
Java Man, exactly. Sierra was kind of our star of that workshop. She pretty much knew everything already. You knew what to look for in the faces to know which one was more ancient man and which was more modern. You knew a lot of their behavior. That was impressive. What'd you think of it?
Well, I guess you could say that, well, it was an interesting class, and I did know a lot of the things that you told everybody else, but there were a lot of things I still didn't know.
Like,
and
what?
There were, well, a lot of the names of the skull parts, and it's so hard to remember all of the names. I can't actually remember anything. No.
You don't remember the word zygomatic bone?
No.
I heard zygomatic, and I thought buckwheat zydeco. You know, I was like, whoa, it's music. I know music, yeah.
No, it's actually a cheekbone.
Cheekbone. Got it, yeah.
It's playing her cheekbone.
So I do wonder, I mean, Flo made sense. Lucy, that's a well-famous name of a fossil. Java for Java Man, that made sense. Ooh, Andy?
Yeah, it was a short from Neanderthal, because that word was a bit long. Neander Valley is where it was found in Germany,
yeah.
And that was sort of Latinized into Neanderthalensis.
Mm-hmm.
Neanderthal. I gave the kids Andy, because when I was first trying to promote it to the kids, I was carrying the skull around and, like, introducing him to people. Pretty much, yeah.
I think you guys are really lucky. Human ancestors were something that always interested me as a kid, but this is the first time I'm actually getting to see casts of skulls as well.
It's really cool to see them right next to each other so you can see directly the differences in three dimension.
Yeah, I never expected Lucy's skull to be as big as it was. I thought it was going to be closer to the size of the Java Man skull.
Yeah.
And then to actually get like, wow, no, they kind of had big heads.
Neanderthal is interesting because it's bigger even than ours.
Yeah.
And that threw the kids off a lot because they were going by a brain size as far as how modern something
and
was.
And I did have, and you would think that, but then you think of elephants, and you were talking about how an elephant doesn't do super math because its brain is huge. No. And you said that it was the head compared to the face and the body.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tried to make that point during anytime I can use my enormous head as a teaching tool was great, because I said for science, yeah. On the occasionally, if there's a loose nail, I can just, you know. You know, we were talking about the, you know, well, they have a bigger skull, therefore they're probably smarter. And so I go, well, wait a minute. And I go, I have this, you know, enormous unwieldy head that makes no sense. And you have a very nice normal sized head, but we're both humans and we have the same same type of intelligence. So clearly there's more to it than that.
Yeah, we talked about how, you can't really look at one thing and say like, oh, this for sure says this. We have to look at all the things and put together the evidence and sort of refine our ideas down to a less and less wrong answer instead of like, oh, this is absolutely correct.
Becky?
How about your amazing rock climbing skills? You want to talk about that?
Rock climbing.
I can do rock climbing really well. We have a climbing wall, and I was climbing, and I really good at climbing, and I'm belaying right now.
Well, climbing would work for you because you're really tall and you weigh like 12 pounds. So,
yeah.
That would make a certain amount of sense. I am short and weigh 4 million pounds. So, rock climbing has never really occurred to me. And I'm learning quite a bit about it. Actually, a lot of the stuff that you guys are doing at this camp, archery, rock climbing, flint napping, I had no idea about it till I showed up here. So, I'm even learning stuff at this
trip. All that stuff that I've never done before.
Yeah.
So.
Me neither.
Stay out of the way. Stay back. They gotta run right through here.
What other things did you like at this camp, Nick? Did you go rock climbing at all? Or
no, I don't. I'm afraid of heights.
What about archery?
I did that all days.
All right. Did you? How well did you do?
Okay. I hit a balloon.
That's pretty cool.
Everybody know what just happened?
No.
We just lit a fire just using a bow and a stick. There was no flame.
Is this your first time at sleepaway camp?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Are you excited to be at Camp Quest?
Yes. It's really fun.
What's the most fun that you've had so far this year or this summer?
Archery, probably here.
Archery? Yeah. Have you hit the target yet?
I came pretty close to the middle target.
To the middle target. All right. Hit any balloons yet? Pop any balloons?
No, not yet.
Not yet. All right.
Middle target. That means did it hit the target but didn't hit the inner target? I'm honestly a little... I'm not an expert on archery in any way, so...
Yeah, the middle target is the very middle of the five targets.
Oh, okay. Very cool. That's... Wow, I am intimidated.
Well, I don't know. Now, what was on the end of our archery fletches, of our arrows? Was there an actual arrow, or was it a steel tip arrow?
It was a steel tip, I believe.
All right, cool. Now, right before I pulled you in the recording booth right here, you were in the middle of something, or you had just finished up a project. What did you finish up?
Flint knapping. It's where you take a piece of stone, and then you take other stones and deer antlers and basically chop off different pieces on the stone and make a arrowhead out of it.
Sweet. So I've got that arrowhead right there, right in front of us.
Let's see.
Now, do we know what kind of stone this is?
No.
It's not obsidian. The obsidian was the black one, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a kind of a white arrowhead right there. And that is looking perfect Christmas tree shape. Look at that. Anything that you could say would be your top favorite awesome thing?
I think the climbing wall is fun, but I think I prefer archery. But the climbing wall is a really big experience for me because I've been on climbing walls, but I've never been on one that has a belayer and ropes.
Wow.
What are those?
Ropes. Well
I know what ropes are, but...
You take a harness and you put it on you and you connect the rope. And then a belayer is a person who has a rope connected to them also. And they control you and they tighten you and loosen you up when you want to come down or go up.
So you feel pretty safe the whole time you're climbing?
Yeah.
Nice.
You can let go and not fall down.
Sweet. Now, how far did you climb up?
A little less than halfway.
That's bigger than I've climbed so far this week.
Yeah, well, it's more than I think I've climbed ever, so hey.
Well, we leave a cut open for the ember to fall out. It has to go all the way through the hole.
Annie, what kinds of things have you been doing in the morning classes?
Well, we've been doing flint knapping, where we'd kind of shape things like arrowheads and what our human ancestors and also Native Americans would make.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider, who sat down beside her, and threw her at the...
What did you enjoy doing in your week here?
Oh, swimming in the Sound and archery.
Archery? How'd you do?
I did pretty bad, but I still liked it.
You know, I gave it a shot, and I didn't do so great myself, to be honest with you.
That looks painful.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't notice until Lou pointed it out.
Oh.
It was one of those, like, whoa. I'm like, oh, ow.
Yeah.
Whoa,
get this thing. Go, Steve. Woo!
We were trying to set it up so that we'd have a counselor and then a camper who really liked what the counselor was doing. In both of your cases, the kids already beat you to the punch. I had them coming in to talk about, you know, evolution or maybe the radio thing or definitely the food science thing, but no. What's your favorite thing? Oh, rock climbing. Oh, archery. Flint napping. I mean, seriously, the first three interviews. Oh, yeah, no, definitely rock climbing and archery. So flint napping, it's not taking a nap with rocks, right? It's...
No, but interestingly enough, there are a lot of jokes like that.
Okay, I would imagine. Yeah, I am a radio host, so I have to make the cheap joke.
Everybody wanted to know the etymology of the word.
Right. Oh, what is the etymology of the word?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I know the napping thing came from actual making musket flints at one point, so I think it has something along to do with those lines, and since they saw Native Americans, you know, working the same material, they just called it that.
Right.
With that kind of work as well, association-wise.
But it's basically molding pieces of flint with bone.
You use deer antler or elk antler for pressure flaking and percussion flaking. You'd use a hammer stone, preferably a very round one.
So are you tying it into the evolution thing?
Sort of, yeah. I gave them actually a couple of my more primitive made pieces, like a hand axe and some primitive scrapers and stuff like that, when they were doing the whole evolution part, just so that they'd have examples to hold up next to each skull. And, you know, this is what Neanderthal was actually making, and
right. This
is what Homo erectus was able to do, and later on Homo sapien, and I think they liked that a lot.
So I also have to admit, I know nothing about any of this. Even archery. I have learned so much about archery so far today, just talking to kids about it. So what does archery look like in a camp experience?
Well, that's actually a question I get a lot, is why do we teach archery at a camp? And I guess it's more of a tradition that for teaching archery. But one of the things I love about archery is that it's really just you, the bow, the arrow, and the target, and the entire world just fades away. Mm-hmm. It's almost like meditation. And I think when kids get that, it's a real experience for them. And they're really, for a lot of these kids who are coming in from the suburbs or in the city, they don't really have the opportunity to have these target sports, like archery or, in a lot of cases, riflery. But we have a range here, which is a nice size range for them.
Question you get a lot is, why do archery? And because it's awesome, just isn't
because
enough?
Because it's awesome is enough. and it is a traditional thing that you do at a summer camp.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's something that is actually seeing quite a resurgence this summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Avengers. There's been the
true.
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And Brave. In fact, in the a lot of the clubs have seen an uptick in the number of enrollments of the younger kids. Mm-hmm. The 11 to 18 are coming in just, I want to try archery. I want to join a club. I want to shoot. It has a new appeal to it that the community hasn't seen in a very long time. Having these kids come in and having a safe place where they can do it every single day. I mean, it's been, you can just see their eyes light up. You can see them get better and better and better, and they just feel more comfortable around it. It's been really cool.
When they talk about hitting the target or getting near the inner target or breaking one of the balloons, because they're not, they're shooting at paper targets on hay bales with
That's
balloons
correct.
On them. I'm hearing a real sense of accomplishment. Like I did that. I made that happen. And I think that's really cool. It was really nice to see.
Yeah, they get that on the climbing wall as well. If I guess there's a certain level of frustration as well, because you get the kids that really, really, really want to get to the top, and they're just hanging there, and they're trying, and they can't do it because they're not tall enough or something. But the ones that do get up to the very top, they're like, yes, you know, then there is that sense of accomplishment. And it's funny, when you mentioned there's like kind of a, it's the same thing when you're on a rock wall. Everything kind of tends to zone out around you, and you're completely focused on your balance. You're balancing your whole skeletal structure and thinking of where your next move is or where your next foot has to go. And everything does kind of zone out just the same way as in a Zen way, as I think is the way you put it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're reading a book.
Yeah,
you're totally into that. You're focused on that, and that's exactly what you do.
We have so many things vying for our attention these days that electronics, internet, games, the challenge of everyday life, that it can be a stressful thing, and finding some way to escape it is really fantastic. And I think giving these opportunities to kids and seeing what makes them light up, and it allows them to take it to the next level if they want to.
Yeah.
Or just come back to camp and have a lot more fun next year.
All right. So there's terminology involved with rock climbing. There's the word that begins with B that I learned today.
Belaying.
Belaying. Okay. And it's not what I thought it was. And so I'm talking to kids about rock climbing, and they go, well, it's interesting to learn about things like the rope and the harness and the belaying. And I'm like, I've never heard of those. What are those? I'm like, well, a rope is kind of like a string, but like, oh, right. It's interesting that I'm sensing the confluence of the meditative qualities of archery and rock climbing, because I was going to say that what you guys are doing kind of works together, because you're doing archery, you're making arrows. You're making arrowheads.
Yeah, well, the climbing thing, it was interesting because there were a couple of people that really wanted to learn how to belay, too. So they were more interested in the technical aspects. And I guess that kind of goes along with the flint napping thing as well. But the thing I think I was really trying to stress on the people that wanted to do the flint napping was, this is what our ancestors did. This is how they used to succeed. They hunted, and it was their mainstay of life. And it took them thousands of years to master this. And here they are trying to learn it in one or two sessions, and they're getting it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and a couple of them are walking away with decent pieces that they can take home or put on a necklace, and they look like arrowheads.
Do you think the reason that people, you know, the kids at this camp tend to be more into the technical ends of things, do you think that's a sort of a side effect of the kind of camp this is? Or is that just what kids tend to be into?
Ooh.
Ooh.
You want to go with that one? Or?
Sure. I think kids have a natural curiosity to them, and these are neat things that you probably won't get at other camps.
They don't get to do this at all, really.
I know.
Until they get here.
I monitored in technology anthropology, and I didn't even get the flint nap in college.
Wow.
So, but it was something that we studied in theory. But seeing it here and actually doing it and helping these kids out has been really cool for me. And I look forward to trying my hand at it as a hobby.
It was so. Like the first staff member in line to get in on it.
I'll be honest with you. I'm sorry I came in late because I would have tried my hand at archery just to see how terrible I am.
Hey, you know we do have a staff archery session.
That's right.
Oh, we do
because yes. We actually like most of the staff really want to go shoot stuff.
I've never shot a bow and arrow.
Well, so come by.
I think you'd be pretty good at it.
Yeah,
you'd be good.
So my contribution to Camp Quest is I've been looking for something for my son. Who's 9, and I was trying to figure out how to get the great camp experiences and the great learning from the great experiences that I had without the things I didn't agree with. And I came across Camp Quest, and I thought, this is fantastic. I'll become involved peripherally to see what it's about. And as they were trying to figure things out, I became more and more involved. And they needed a archery instructor, and I was like, yes, I'll do that. So my child is actually here, is a camper.
I am working my tail off, but I'm having a great time doing it.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no-cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
This November in Washington State, we have an opportunity to strike a blow against religious privilege and become the first state to legalize marriage equality by a majority of voters.
Some people might be confused about why we're asking you to vote to approve Referendum 74. I mean, didn't the people opposed to equal rights get this on the ballot? Well, yeah, they did.
When the Washington State Legislature passed marriage equality earlier this year and Governor Greg Warr signed it, the religious right challenged that law.
Now we are the legislature.
When you vote to approve Referendum 74, you are voting to approve the exact same bill the legislature passed.
We believe that real religious liberty means a secular government that respects diversity where no one's religious ideology is imposed on anyone through the force of law.
Vote to approve extending equality and respect to all Washington families. Vote to approve Referendum 74 this November 6th.
To help make it happen, donate to Washington United for Marriage through the Ask an Atheist team page.
Go to askanatheist.tv/r74.
We're the producers of Ask an Atheist.
And we pay for this ad.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules, a variation on our usual fantasy campaign system. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shape-shifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, as well as a listing of other products and to get involved in the community forums.
Is this the first time you've done Camp Quest, or?
Yes, it is.
Have you done any other type of sleepaway camp before?
No.
How are you liking it so far?
Awesome.
I'm certain you've got some questions that you'd like to ask him.
Well, I have been staying away from Alex because part of this summer camp experience is really about getting away from family, getting away from mom and dad, getting away from brother, and learning how to be social on your own and going and doing new things. So I've been trying to stay a little bit away in order to give you that away experience. But I also wanted to make the camp successful. And
and do what I can in order to support the camp, to be there as a staff member in general, but also to run some of the activities like archery and ropecraft. So I have no idea what your week has been like. Okay, so do you want to talk to me, tell me some of the things that have been going on?
Sure. So I have been doing climbing. I was 2 yards away from the top on the easiest climbing wall.
Oh, fantastic.
Halfway to the top on one of the hard climbing walls, I got really close to popping a balloon in archery.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Well, I knew about that one.
I almost drowned doing the swimming test.
Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to work on that one, huh?
Yep.
There was a swimming test?
Mm-hmm.
What was the test like?
Like, you had to go as far as you were comfortable enough, and you had to swim to this pole, and it was really hard.
That's the first time
you've been in the Puget Sound, huh?
Yep.
Was it cold?
Oh, yeah. Freezing.
I've been hearing a few complaints about the water down at the beach. Cold, was the scent okay when you went down, or was it kind of stinky?
Stinky.
It was kind of stinky.
And once the tide was way far out, that, like, the pole was not even in the water. Like,
well, then I guess it would have been easy to get there, huh?
I can actually, like, go out to the pole and touch it.
Swim test succeeded.
Yay! Good idea.
Yes, it is. Enjoyed building a go-kart, which is...
Oh, right. What's the locomotion method on the go-kart? I don't see any pedals or anything like that.
We have a person behind pushing it.
Oh, so it's sort of a go-chariot then.
Yes. No whips, though.
No whips. Tomorrow at Camp Quest Northwest, the Ben-Hur recreation activity.
Is it 9:30? Thanks. I was just about to ask somebody.
I went on one nature hike, and we did see a few birds, and we even saw a bald eagle. It was really cool.
I didn't go.
But you did go on the scavenger hunt, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we all went on the scavenger hunt.
Right.
What was the weirdest thing that you found on the scavenger hunt?
Well, there was probably the dead squirrel.
So you found some different organisms at different stages of their life cycle, didn't you?
Right.
Okay.
And my team found two crab pinchers.
The two pinchers of the crabs? The ends of them? Yeah. I know that one group found a whole carapace of a crab. Did you find the shell as well?
No. We were following a group, but we were behind a group, but we weren't really following them. They found a jaw of another animal. I think it was a deer jaw, right on the edge of the beach.
We did. We saw a deer jaw with some teeth still attached.
I think there was another jaw. I think there are two bones. The beach kind of stinks, and the edge of the water is covered in seaweed.
And it's freezing.
Do you guys remember the words for our green seaweed or red seaweed?
It was eel seaweed or something?
We did see some seaweed that some folks said looked or reminded them of eels. Do you remember what that was? No. With a big bulb at the top?
The only time I went to the beach here, because I like only went once, it's cold.
It is very cold here.
Yeah, you saw a dead jellyfish, and the lifeguard let us feel it.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was dead. It didn't have any tentacles on it, but yeah.
What did it feel like?
Well, on the side, since everyone was touching it, it's been in the air, it felt kind of
touched the top, it feels sort of like jello.
Kind of like jello, kind of like plastic, a mix of a whole bunch of stuff.
Awesome.
Whenever I think of jellyfish, I have all these questions in my head. Why don't jellyfish have hearts, veins, brains, and
blood?
How can they live?
Yeah, like, how can a jellyfish live without any of the important organs?
Yeah, and how does it eat stuff?
Have you figured it out?
No.
Well,
I think, would it, like, crush things up or something?
I don't know. We still have 2 more days of camp. Maybe we can find another jellyfish and find out the answer.
I wonder if they have, like, we could cut it open? What do you mean?
We could dissect, or we could...
I don't like dissecting. One time I dissected something and it was not very nice.
Super!
So, Sierra, is this your first sleepaway camp?
No, I've done many sleepaway camps.
Is this your first Camp Quest, then?
Mm-hmm.
How is Camp Quest comparing to the other camps that you've been to?
The main thing is, which is sort of sad, almost all the camps that I've gone to have had us doing graces, and there was always just a little hint that told you that they were a religious camp, and this is probably the first one that's pretty much completely atheist, and it's a very new thing. Mm. It's sort of, well, I don't usually see anything that's an atheist group. Right. Joining together, it's almost always things at churches, and
right.
which is sort of
That's
sad.
A really strong point, and we actually spend a lot of the time on our show talking about that, how there needs to be more of exactly this sort of thing for us out there, just because it is, you know, you go out there in places that you'd really like to go. This is my first sleepaway camp. This is the first, like, I never went as a kid because, my parents didn't want me going to religious sleepaway camps. They were afraid that they'd send me to one and then it turned out to be some sort of scary religious thing. And then they would turn me into, you know, I'd convert or something. And so they sort of kept me out of it. And now I'm getting to participate in it, but we're not spending the whole time just talking about atheism, right? We're actually not really talking about it much at all, as far as I can tell. What's your experience with that been?
At Camp Quest, there are times when we do talk about atheism, but it's usually just learning things and having fun. So I guess we do talk about atheism, and we don't do all the religious things that most religious camps do. Like, we don't do graces.
Right.
Though we do have a silly song that we sing whenever Chuck says announcements.
Yeah, the singing, that caught me off guard, I'll be honest with you, because I got up here midweek, and the first thing you guys are doing are sitting down to have lunch. I sit down, Becky hands me a plate of whatever we're eating, and then Chuck goes up and says announcements, and I get the announcement song, and that is the first thing I get, is the announcement song, so... How has Camp Quest Northwest been for you?
Really awesome.
Really awesome. Is this your first sleepaway camp, or have you done this before?
I've gone to actually 4 Camp Quests before this.
This is your 5th Camp Quest?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what other locations have you been to?
I've been 4 years at Camp Quest West and then 1 year here.
Where is Camp Quest West?
It's in California.
Okay. What sort of material do they do there versus here?
We're a lot alike.
Very cool. It looks like people are making friends this camping trip.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. What have you enjoyed doing this here at Camp Quest Northwest so far?
Probably just hanging out with people.
Just the socializing.
Yeah.
What's the difference between here and, say, socializing at school?
I don't have to think about what I'm saying, because if I say something, if I, like, slip up on an atheist joke and I'm at school, people will start making fun of me for it. So here, I'm just like, la la la, and nobody really cares.
So you would call yourself an atheist then, I would imagine.
Yes, I would.
Okay. I've noticed that there's a lot of skepticism, a lot of free inquiry here. People don't seem to be afraid to ask questions about exhibits or anything going on, but the A word isn't being mentioned a whole lot.
What A word?
Atheism.
Oh, no, not really.
Okay.
We just think of each other as different people. We're just people.
So, Vian, would you recommend Camp Quest for other kids?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What would make a kid choose Camp Quest?
Some kids at other summer camps, like other religion camps that go to who might not be religious, might be made fun of. And here, that's not possible because all the adults and the children are atheists like them.
Hmm. So atheists are free thinkers.
Yeah.
So have you ever been made fun of for not having a religion or not being a religious family?
I've been laughed at, but not like specifically made fun of.
Hmm. And so it's pretty comfortable here since no one's going to do that.
It's really comfortable.
Last night, because when they introduced me to everybody, I went up there and, like, I do a radio show called ask an atheist. You know, I said it really quickly. Ask an atheist, thinking like, you know, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. And then somebody came up to me later and said, well, what show do you do? Oh, it's called Ask an Atheist. They go, oh, yeah, my mom's an atheist. I'm like, right, I can do that here. It's really nice.
So. Yeah, because most of our families here, we have some campers that have gone to church with other family members.
Right.
But most of our campers, I think, are non-religious. Now, you have participated in Socrates Cafe in the morning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us sort of what that was about?
We take a topic that is important to us, and we discuss the topic or the question. This morning, I think we did, what is nature?
Neat. So you came to some interesting conclusions. Did everyone agree?
Not yet.
And we're going to go back to our cabins for skit practice. This is it, guys. Folks, showtime.
I mean, Camp Quest Northwest, it's one of the pieces of the puzzle in the atheism visibility movement and sort of the social fabric we're trying to create.
Yes.
For our movement. Clearly, you think this is important, but how do you see it fitting into the whole puzzle that we're working on here?
I think of it as the education end of it. I mean, if we get these kids to start thinking critically about everything, then the rest of it becomes easy for them. We're no longer going to worry about them making the wrong choices as far as woo, which is the word I like to use for all that, is concerned. You know, if they think critically about things, then they're not going to be susceptible to the quack science out there.
Yeah. And let me tell you, at this point, I've interviewed a number of the kids, and I think you've scored a bullseye on that one.
Yeah,
I really
definitely.
Do.
The parents are mostly, to be thanked there. We're just helping them along, giving them a safe place to talk to one another and realize they're not alone out there.
I'm hearing that from kids, too. You guys, I think this has been absolutely amazing to see, and I am glad that I'm here to witness it. What's it like interacting with the other kids here at camp?
It's lots of fun to kind of meet new people who believe the same things that we do about not believing.
That's what our show is about. It has been weird because I usually, when I'm talking with kids, I tend to gloss it over because their parents are usually right behind them giving me like, don't you dare talk about that one. And here, sometimes I forget I'm allowed to talk about that. So... this is my first camp, too. I never went to a camp as a kid, primarily because I was afraid of getting laughed at for believing weird things, but or not believing things, as the case may be.
Yeah.
It seems incredibly friendly here.
Yes. Everyone's really nice. It's awesome having people that you can feel open with because they believe the same thing as you, so you don't have to hide a certain part of yourself from them. You could just be totally open.
This episode of Ask an Atheist was recorded at Camp Quest Northwest on Samish Island in August of 2012. The campers on this episode were Aspen, Elle, Alex, Owen, Rowan, Annie, Keelan, Sierra, Bailey, Nick, Vian, and Arden. The counselors on this episode were Amanda Metzkis, August Brunsman, Chuck Wolber, Martin Daniels, Lou Amadio, Mike Kaiser, Nick Kennedy, Caitlin Cicchetto, Becky Friedman, Steve Jones, and Brennan Church. My name is Sam Mulvey. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. If you would like to hear extended interviews from this episode, check into our website, askanatheist.tv, later on this week. This episode is pre-recorded and there is no post-show. See you next week.
So, you guys play Minecraft?
Yeah. I love Minecraft.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.